Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, how are you? Welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons live here on a Patriots Monday down at Gillette Stadium. I'm Christian Arkin. That's Andy Hart. How are we doing today, Andy?
I am better than the game I watched yesterday.
I mean, hard to be worse than that. That was a tough one.
That sucked.
Patriots go down in flames in Miami. Never really in it. Dude. Made it sort of competitive at the end.
No, they didn't. Get the hell out of here.
There were a couple of moments. You know, that last drive, you're watching it. Well, if they score here, it's a one-score game.
And if my aunt had ball, she'd be my uncle.
There was 6 minutes left. I'm just saying, mathematically, it wasn't out of the question. They didn't do anything prior to the fourth quarter.
They didn't do anything except the gifts that the Dolphins gave them. A scoop and score and whatever the hell that rollout throwback. We got our one recruiting video. That's all I'm happy for.
Yeah.
Take that and put the rest of the
and
game
in. And the two-point conversion, that little flip. Is that what you're talking about? That was, I like that.
So can I tell you
the highlight
stupid,
of the game,
out-of-touch thought I had on that?
Sure.
I was like, wow, that's a really nice play. Yeah, it's weird they're wasting it in a game that doesn't matter. And then I'm thinking,
are they going to save it for the playoffs?
When are they ever going to have a game that matters?
Save it for the Super Bowl?
But that was my weird thought process about that. They were somehow, oh, you're putting that on tape way too early.
Whoa, guys.
What are we doing?
Don't show them everything all at once. It's only week 12.
It is about time they had a, I don't know if I want to call it a trick play, but a creative play that just kind of worked perfectly.
I'll tell you what, it was the play of the day. The Patriots not really able to do much else as I could tell this game was over in three drives. The first three Patriots drives pretty much told me all I needed to know. And if you need a refresher here, you get a three and out with the penalty on Vidarian Lowe. That was the first one.
A penalty with this team? No.
It got worse from there. The next drive was a 12-play drive, three penalties. I feel like Drake May was 2nd and 15 that entire drive.
He was.
He was really 2nd and 15 the entire half. It was ridiculous. Then they run it on 3rd and 16. Sly misses the field goal. Next series, Stevenson gets jumped 6 yards in the backfield. Booty can't connect on 2nd down. Then he gets sacked on 3rd down, 3 and out. They're down 14-0. Game over. I mean, that was basically it right there. And, yeah, they came alive somewhat in the 4th quarter. But, really, this was a boat race. And the Miami Dolphins just completely outclassed the Patriots, like they've been doing in Miami for years. This isn't a new thing. But this is not a serious team, and this is not a serious season. That's what I found myself thinking watching the seconds tick down here. This is just not, I mean, you know, you're not in these games. Even the ones that you're in, you're not really, there's no expectation that anything's good's going to happen. And when you go in against a team like the Dolphins, who you've struggled with historically, Tua never loses to you. They always find a way.
Did you hear he kicked Robert out of his office? He's like, I own this team now.
Basically.
Kraft.
Yeah, I mean, Tua owns the Patriots.
That's
he is
so
the owner
sad.
Of the New England Patriots. 7-0. And really, whenever they go down there, it's just a bloodbath. The last time they won a game in Miami was the Antonio Brown game. Mm-hmm. That was the last win they had there, and prior to that, they were like 7-1. And since then, they're 0-7.
They sold their soul to AB.
0-5. Yeah, I mean, really, it's been awful. And
do you
hear
circus music ever?
Like, do I hear it playing?
No, like when you're watching it, because that's all I keep.
Yes. Yeah, kind of.
When
or like Benny Hill.
Yes, that's what Fitzy said. Mm-hmm. Fitzy said he hears Benny Hill, which is appropriate because everything he notes is dated, and that's a dated reference.
It's true.
I just hear traditional, generic circus music, and the one that got me, it wasn't the trick play from Bourne throwing it into a lineman who was blocking the trick play. Looked like they hadn't ever practiced that, by the way.
Right.
Somehow never got the. But to me, the epitome of it, and there's probably other options, but the booty play down the right sideline where he pushed off.
Yes.
And then he fell down as the ball sails over us. I was like, even when you cheat, mm-hmm. you can't get the ball.
No.
It's
that almost made it worse.
Make it worse.
It made like the play look worse. You're just like, oh, so none of that was going to happen.
And meanwhile, the Dolphins are running that one play where they had the fake handoff and then Tua just goes behind his back like this, the no look. If the Patriots ran that play, how do you think that would have ended up?
In the other end zone.
Yes.
Yes.
Like the guy coming to get it would have tripped and then a lineman would have scooped it or something.
Stevenson would have fumbled somehow. Like, yeah,
it's
no way.
So, like, that was a telling game where they couldn't compete. And that's where I know we're going to get into the locker room and Mayo and everything. I feel like maybe the reason that they were a little less than sad in the postgame locker room is because maybe they went through their sad feelings in, like, the second quarter when the game actually ended. And so they had, like, an hour and a half to get over it because that's how I was. That game ended. What was it, 24 points in the second quarter?
Yep.
Like, the game was over. The body was dead. It
eerily
was buried.
Similar to the, right. to the last game.
It was so over. And this team is just a mess. I don't feel any – I felt like a while there we were kind of trending slightly upward.
Slightly,
did you
yeah.
feel that a little bit?
Yeah, you won
like
a couple
that Bears
of games.
Game. We had 9 sacks, and you got May making plays.
Yeah.
Our quarterback should have gone number 1 overall. Dan Orlovsky said so. And then yesterday happened.
You win 2 out of 3. You have an acceptable loss last week, which I still believe that about that Rams game. That was an acceptable loss. I look at that type of loss, and I think, you know, they hung around. They probably could have won that game, and if they were a little bit better, maybe they would have. But they didn't quit, and they played to the end, and what are you going to do? That was an unacceptable one yesterday. I mean, that was just what are you even doing out here? Outclassed from the start. And that clip we played at the beginning of the show that you just heard right there of Jerod Mayo is a clip that's launched 1,000 takes, basically, is everyone has something to say about what Mayo said there, about once his players cross the white line, there's nothing he can do for them. There's nothing anybody can do for them. Andy Hart, you fancy yourself a football coach?
Yes.
Kind of. What do you make of that?
Flag-ish. I think, first of all, the aggregators are the ones that started the real sort of poop storm on social media from that quote. And then I noticed a lot of the beat writers felt the need to retweet some of those and put the question and try to bring some clarity to what he was talking about. I kind of agree with him. Once I put Vedarian Lowe out there, there is no way to prevent him from jumping off sides, false starting, holding, right? But that's where I have an issue with Mayo. The accountability for Mayo comes with putting people on the field.
Yep.
That's how you hold people accountable. And if you don't hold them accountable, then there is no, by extension, accountability. If Vedarian Lowe can have a penalty, as you enumerated there, just on every drive, is there any... It's like the parent who threatens to ground their kid, and at some point the kid's like, they've never actually grounded me.
Right,
so that kind of loses its weight.
One more time, and you're in trouble, Mr.
Right, like, those kids end up being punks. Why? Because there's no accountability.
They never
there's
get
no
punished.
Authority.
Right.
But in terms of the actual...
He did bench Jacobs.
Yes.
Right? Devontae Jacobs got benched, but Arian Lowe was just left to go out there and hold on every single play.
And maybe it'll change this week. He did tease that this morning on the Greg Hill show, that there will be some changes in the lineup coming this coming week.
He also said on the Greg Hill show, I have no one to sub in.
Well,
so,
yes.
Yeah, we'll get to that one,
it
too.
It reminded me of Ron Renicky.
Yeah.
Who did you want me to start? I don't have any starting pitchers during the lockout season.
Yeah.
I mean, the COVID season.
That was a tough interview this morning.
It was. And
yeah.
I actually gave Jerod Mayo credit for the end, kind of pulling it out in an upbeat way. Like, no, criticize me. This is part of the job.
Yep.
And I'm going to be better for this if he sticks around.
Right.
Or in the future in a different location.
Yeah, right.
So I give him
better in Cleveland.
I do give him a little bit of credit for understanding the business, like, we have jobs to do. And if the coach is a joke or the coach's performance is a joke, we have to call him out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not personal. I don't hate Jerod Mayo. I don't love him or hate him. Like, he is a part of what we have to cover and talk about. And yesterday, his team was an embarrassment. And it started with the penalties. And you could tell that in the post-game interviews because immediately Mike Reese asked a very pointed question. At what point do the penalties reflect on the coaching? Right? And it's, I almost had to listen to it twice. It was almost like,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Stephon Gilmore, you're like, did Mike Reese just call out Gerard Mayo to his face?
Yeah.
And then I listened again, I'm like, yep, Mike Reese called sure out did. Gerard Mayo to his face. But I do tend to agree with Gerard Mayo. Once I put them out, like, how do I stop him? Do I have correction collars used on dogs? Do I buzz him if he's going to fall? Like, you got Austin Hooper, who lines up, looks to his right. The ball is like where his ass is.
I've never seen a guy line up in the neutral zone on offense before.
In
an NFL game? I don't think I've ever seen this.
Especially when he can see.
Yeah.
It'd be one thing if there
he
was
looked
like,
around, he's like, yep, got it.
Some weird formation and he couldn't see and there was like somebody in front of him. But it was, you know what I actually thought of? And this wouldn't have made sense. So last week to prepare for Tyreek Hill, Gerard Mayo said the way they did it is they would have guys line up 2 yards offsides because that replicates the speed with which he gets downfield.
Austin Hooper was replicating.
I don't think Austin Hooper was playing Tyreek Hill, so there's no excuse there for him. But that continues. Hunter Henry, Kendrick Bourne, Austin Hooper have had some of the worst penalties all year, right? And then you mix in a Vidarian Lowe and all these other guys that are error repeaters. I don't know how that doesn't point towards coaching. That's on you to parent those people, to pull them. I'm sorry. I know you probably think Lowe is better. He isn't. He's putting Drake May in 3rd and 16 every effing drive. You're not good enough to overcome those long plays. So I looked it up yesterday. Post-game show, one of my first tasks was go to the practice squad. Who are the tackles? There's two of them, including your guy, Caleb Jones.
Yes.
6'9", 370.
The mountain.
Put him out there. Could it be worse?
It could not.
I bet you it could, but we'll see.
I don't think so. I mean, unless he has a penalty on every single play, I'm not sure that he can penalty-wise.
But what if he
can't
block?
Maybe in terms of protection and all that. Yeah, I don't know. There's another guy, Jalen McKenzie, who I don't know much
about.
Put him
out
there.
He's out
there, too.
I don't care. These guys suck. Those guys can't suck anymore.
I'm starting to feel that way about some other position groups, too, by the way. Like, I'm looking at the practice squad and thinking, these guys can't be worse than some of the people who are out there playing in certain areas.
Or even just backups.
As well, yeah. Backups,
Marcus Jones.
Whatever, sure.
I thought he was terrible.
Marcus Jones got disemboweled by Jalen Waddle in that game. And I like Marcus Jones, but I'm starting to wonder if maybe they got him on the wrong side of the field. Like, I mean, in general, this guy's a very good returner. And I don't know if he's going to be good on offense, but I know lately he has been – they pick on him on defense. They single him out, whoever 25's on, and they throw to that guy, and there's really nothing he can do about it.
And they would probably pick on – Alec Austin or
probably,
whoever's next in line, just like they'll probably
dominate. But those guys don't have another thing that they can do, and Jones does, so at least use him for something else.
But the difference for me is Marcus Jones is getting beat physically.
Yep.
Okay, that happens. We know this team isn't very talented. I've never thought he was a top three corner. I think he's forced as the best you have out there. That's unfortunate. It's like one of those middle relievers that has to eat the innings. Well, you have to eat the Jalen Waddle catches today. Sorry, bud. But Vidarian Lowe isn't getting to the point where we find out if he's good enough to compete.
Right.
It's the it's the easy stuff. It's the stuff you teach 8-year-olds, now, you know, U10 Pop Warner. Oh, come on, guys. We got to know the snap count.
Right.
You know, whatever the quarterback says, that's the snap. The fact that you can't do that as a professional, and I don't really buy the argument of, well, he's so worried about getting beat physically that he tries to it. No, you have to play the game the way it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in any sport, there's rules, and you have to adhere to them, and they can't. So that, to me, that was most frustrating, because that's not – I'd rather mountain of a man who isn't as good be in front of Drake May than the guy who keeps penalizing Drake May and making him go 3rd and 15.
And also letting guys just run right around.
Well, yeah.
And get to
Michael Jordan. I swear Michael Jordan
Hunter
is
Henry
like,
too.
Wait, are they allowed to cross? That doesn't seem fair.
Wait a minute.
One went that way and one went that. That's not fair. He should have to tell me that he's doing that.
They were in max protect a couple times.
Terrible.
And then Chop Robinson just runs right around Hunter Henry like he's not even there. And they're in max protect. Got two extra. Stevenson and Henry were both staying back and blocking. And they ran right around. It was unbelievable.
There was that one bad one where Hunter Henry made a little bit of an effort, I guess. And I think it was Chop Robinson just kind of moved him to the side, and then ran by low. I think it was on the left side. Then there was the other ones. So Chop Robinson pushed Jacobs back into May one time, and then the next time ran by him so fast, I don't think he literally touched him. I don't think he got a fingernail on him. So it was a mismatch in terms of talent. We knew that.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mismatch in terms of coaching. I think we kind of expected that.
I certainly expected that, yes.
And you also saw that there's a big difference with that team with Tua running the show.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's night and day. He's maybe one of the, like, he's not going to get a lot of MVP votes this year, but in terms of value to his team, he might be the most valuable player to his team in the whole league.
Especially when Skylar Thompson comes in for like one play.
They had to put him back
in. They turn it over on a freaking handoff.
That was unbelievable. I mean, one snap, it's like, whoops, okay, get back in there, Tua, sorry. Just try not to get a concussion, okay? 617-779-7937. Just one more thing on this quote, because it's getting so much attention and people are so mad about it, and you're right. The aggregators are really going buck wild with this thing about once they're inside the lines, then, you know, there's nothing I can do for them. I've heard coaches say that before.
Okay.
I've heard coaches say that in different sports. Like in basketball, I've heard coaches say, once you're out there in the court, there's only so much I can do. I can call timeout. I can, you know, call out a play.
Right.
But you have to go out there and execute it. And I think on some level, that's pretty boilerplate coach speak.
Yes.
It's not some, oh my God, I can't believe he said that type of thing. It just doesn't look great. It doesn't look great in a series of questions. And this is important too, the context of this. The series of questions, he kept saying, it starts with me, it starts with me, it starts with me.
Absolutely.
Over and over and over again, to the point where, I don't know which reporter it was, but that reporter says, well, okay, at what point do you start blaming the players? And he says, well, you know, once they're out on the field, there's nothing I can do about it. I just got to get them ready. And you're saying I didn't do a good enough job. And he's right. Early in the game, they didn't look like they should be on the field with the Dolphins. And it really didn't start to improve until late in the fourth, or really late in the second half, I should say, in the fourth quarter. And that's, I think, the biggest damning thing here, more so than those words, which, yes, out of context and sort of on paper, don't look great. But really, I didn't think, I heard it and I was like, ooh, that wasn't very good. But it didn't stick with me this long. And people are like, oh, you got to fire him for this. If there's reason to fire him, there's reason to fire him. It's not because of that.
Right.
It's not because he said that.
There's plenty of reasons to fire him. That wouldn't be in the top 100 for me.
No, not
because, if you listen to the whole press conference, you're right. He said it starts with me ad nauseum.
Yeah.
A little Belichickian in its repetitiveness. And then B is, it's a cliche and it's true. And I've heard coaches say it in both directions.
Right.
Once I put him out there, they succeed or fail kind of on their own. I prepare them to go out in the, like, it's like your kid when you hand him the keys to the car. At some point, if the kid hits a telephone pole, is that on you? No?
Nope.
You took him to driving school. You've told him not to drive with friends. You've tried to show him how to do it. You took him to the parking lot down the street. At some point, they're out there, and they're controlling that vehicle. And I think that that's I actually think that's really unfair criticism. And I think it's low blow from the aggregators. They know what they're doing, too.
Oh, they certainly do.
They are dirty.
Dove Kleiman, who's not even Dove Kleiman anymore. She sold his account to some guy. So now some person who I don't even know if the original Dove Kleiman was a real guy, but now it's like 2 degrees away from that. Other people just, I can't believe he said this. Oh, this is so terrible. And it's just, you know, no one enjoyed that game. Okay.
No.
We all watched the same thing. It was bad, but you got to admit, I mean, what's he going to do? Go out there, make a tackle himself? Like, come on. Well, honestly, no one on the team's doing
it. He's not that old.
He might as well. He might as well
and
try.
The tackling is so poor. Your boy, Kyle Duggar. I'm just going to
my that. Boy. Excuse me? When did that happen?
I don't know. When they stink, they go to host one.
Jonnu Smith. Oh, man. He put him in the blender. This is just the beginning. We'll get into more of this. And we'll be speaking with Jonathan Jones at 3 o'clock. We'll get his take on the struggles in the secondary that the Patriots had. And when we come back,
Drake May, the quarterback, will join us here on WEEI Afternoons. We have lots of questions for him here. We'll have the quarterback question of the week. That's all coming up next. Drake May joins us after Stiz gets you caught up on what's trending.